Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendship, the good, the bad, and especially the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
We really are. We really are.
Yeah, we are. Very long and fruitful friendship.
Yes.
Yeah, I miss you. I haven't seen you for like 2-3 weeks.
Living at the Cape. And I understand, you know, your house is being demolished before your eyes. So I would love to see pictures of that, you know, the before and the after.
Yes. We are documenting every fallen board, every ripped out cabinet. Yeah. It's really sad, you know, because even though we're going to have a nicer house with like higher quality materials in it, because we were so broke when we built the house, those, you know, crappy cabinets and countertops and stuff, those were home to a lot of really fun times.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I was cleaning out this baking cupboard we have. That's the worst cupboard in the world. I can fit into it entirely if I curl up. And I am not a small woman.
No, you're not.
Needless to say, like the chocolate chips or the raisins or the baking powder is so far in the back that we have like four of everything because we didn't go into the abyss, right?
Right.
But my kids used to hide in there when we played hide and seek, and sometimes the cat would go in with them and they would be lying there eating chocolate chips, and you know, and I'm like, oh, this horrible cupboard, I'll never see it again, you know. So it's very bittersweet.
Yeah.
And once I get in there, I'll be like, how did I live in that hovel for all those years?
I know. It happened when I put some cabinetry in the kitchen in this house, and most of them have drawers. So you know, when you have those horrible bottom cabinets where you put all your pots and pans and you crawl around trying to get them, all of a sudden there's a drawer that opens. You're thinking, my God, what was I thinking?
Right. How did humanity survive before that?
I know.
Well, we have a very interesting letter. Mm-hmm. And I will read it. Dear ladies, love this podcast and definitely relate to so many of the people who have written to you or been discussed in your book. In my case, my friend is not crappy, and I don't think I'm crappy, but she's in a crappy situation, and I hope there's a way I can help her without ruining the friendship we've built. Sorry, this letter is a long one. Some background. 10 years ago, Melissa, not her real name, and I met at a mid-level creative corporate job. Think a groovy startup company with ping pong tables in the break room, but no health benefits. We connected immediately, first as colleagues, but shortly thereafter as friends. Melissa is one of the kindest, funniest people I've ever known. We're the kind of friends who get stared at in restaurants because we get each other giggling over something and suddenly we're howling, wiping our eyes on napkins and generally making a scene. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Anyway, a few years into work with the groovy startup, we were all unceremoniously laid off when the company went belly up. No notice, no severance. It was brutal. Because these were advertising and marketing jobs, I transitioned into more corporate work, more technical copy than fun. And Melissa wanted to go more creative, freelancing, pitching stories, features to magazines, working retail to fill the gaps. She's had some great successes and written some truly beautiful work. A fantastic writer, Melissa is the talent, I think, just one lucky break from getting hired to write features at Vogue or having a short story in The New Yorker. Mm. But unfortunately, it hasn't happened yet. And increasingly, she's had to work retail jobs and is really starting to struggle. In contrast, by what is essentially dumb luck, my corporate gigs keep getting better and more lucrative. I went from making good money to great money, and I'm really grateful. I want to stress that this isn't a case of me being a genius or Melissa being flaky. We are both writers, and I feel like panic made me take the safer choice while she followed truly creative pursuits while honing her craft to a level beyond me. Before I get to the crux of the issue, I'm sure you can see what's coming, I want to emphasize again how much Melissa and I get along and how much we have helped each other over the years. I lost both of my parents in pretty quick succession, and she was an absolute rock. She had a long-term relationship fall apart, and I was there for her. It's been a decade of a lot of laughs, some tears, but mostly wonderful times. The issue beneath the surface is money. I have it, she doesn't. We both do plenty to ensure this disparity doesn't come up. We don't shop together. We typically meet for a coffee instead of dinner. And as often as not, we trade off gatherings at each other's homes, happy with Netflix, popcorn, and wine. Oh my God, it's us, Joss.
It is. It's absolutely us.
Netflix, popcorn, and wine. Oh my God. Once I was able to convince her to let me pay for a concert and a hotel room in a major city a few hours away from where we live. She agreed, grudgingly, and we had the best time at the concert, then gabbing the night away like girls on a sleepover. But she happened to see the bill for the hotel room after it was slipped under the door the next day, and I could tell it bothered her. It made for a drive home that was a little strained. Now I'm worried she's in real financial straits. She works for a specialty retail store that keeps cutting hours due to the pandemic. Now she's had to supplement that job by waitressing a few nights a week. She jokes that her coworkers are all teenagers and college students, but I can see that it bothers her. She's writing less now, too. When I ask her about what she's pitching or working on, she says, oh, it's all crap, and changes the subject. Ladies, this sucks. I can see that she's struggling in real ways, and I don't know how to help. She's got a scummy landlord who won't fix things like drafty windows and has raised the rent on her again. Thanks to my job and my partner's job and inheritance from both parents, I have real money just sitting around. I could part with $5,000 tomorrow and not miss it, really and truly. I know how lucky I am. What bothers me is that if I died and left Melissa that kind of money, she'd have to spend it. But I'm alive and healthy, thank goodness, but somehow I can't give it to her. Is there any way I can give her money now without changing the friendship irrevocably? I feel like she would refuse me outright if I offered, and I absolutely get it. She's a proud person. I wish I could somehow give her the money anonymously, have her win the lottery, find some way to let her have some breathing room. I know talking about money is awkward, but I wish it wasn't. Maybe this isn't a conversation we should have face to face. Maybe I put everything in an email, but then what do I say? Or do I drop this altogether? I love Melissa, and I hate that I can't figure out a way through this. Am I being an asshole? Signed, I just want to help.
That's just lovely. I mean, the sentiment she has is
sentiment just- is lovely. The friendship is lovely, and you're not being an asshole.
No, you're not. You're not.
However,
I had a relationship with this with a friend of mine, Katie, who it's very similar. We were both. She started off working in politics. She was in public service for a long time, and she made $0, as you might imagine, as an aide. And we both had no money, so we were both scrimping and saving. And then, just like you, I just want to help. She got a big time job, and her salary tripled, maybe quadrupled. It like really went right up there. And mine sort of stayed the same sort of median way. And she used to like to try to give me money also. And I too was very prideful about it. And then one day we were out, we do this thing where we go out and day drink at a restaurant and then toddle over to the Home Goods and sit on a couch for a couple hours, which is
so jealous. This is the only time I'm jealous of you, Joss, is when you don't include me with your 80 days.
You're welcome to come. We sit on the couch for 2 to 3 hours, just cackling at nothing. And one day, what she used to do when we would day drink and eat like ridiculous amounts of nachos and nonsense is she would be like, it's my turn to pay. And she would hand the woman her card. And I would say, no, it's not. It's my turn. And she'd be like, nope, you got it last time. And she did this enough where I was like, wait, did I do it last time? Didn't I? And then one day we were day drinking and having our moment together. And I said, listen, I know you did this. You paid for this last time. It's now my turn. And she said to me, dude, I make a lot of money and I'm going to pay for this. And there's not a fucking thing you can do about it. And I said, yes, but. And she said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. This I can do for you. And I'm going to. I have so much now. I'm doing it. And so she did. And I let her. Yeah. And it was really about me getting over my pridefulness. It wasn't a reflection on anything I couldn't do or my ability to take care of myself. It really had nothing to do with that. It was something that I really had to get over. And I did. And now I'm in a place where, you know, we're not necessarily, because she still makes a lot of money, but I can certainly hold my own and, you know, right. buy whatever and right. do whatever I need to do. So I'm in a better place now. So I wonder, I just want to help. I understand your friend is very prideful. I get it. I've been there. Instead of trying to give her money or even pay for dinners or lunches, can you get her a job? I just want to help. You're in a big time, fabulous corporate job, maybe a part-time job, maybe freelance, send freelance contracts her way. Can you do something like that?
Yeah, I think my feeling is that based on Melissa's reaction, you can't give her money.
Yeah.
If you can't pick up the tab for a hotel and concert tickets, she is not going to accept $5,000. Mm-hmm. And it does change the friendship in that one is the giver and one is the needy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are friendships, I think, where you could say, look, I know you're in this hole and here's $5,000. I just want to get you out. And the person would be like, wow, you're great. Mm-hmm. But it's always going to be there. And there, you know, there is that saying, like, money and friendship don't mix. Mm-hmm. I think I've been in this situation too, where, like, the dinner situation where I took some friends out to dinner and they were ordering. I'm like, I'm paying because I never cook for you people and you cook for me, so this is my treat. And it was a very posh restaurant, and they started ordering like the cheapest things on the menu. And I said, stop, mm-hmm. I'm treating you to dinner. I'm wealthy enough to pay for this dinner. Trust me, you know, it's okay. No kid is going to get kicked out of college. You know, let me buy dinner for you. And really I brought you here too, so you could enjoy it, mm-hmm. not get, you know, the pasta with olive oil. And so treating is one thing. Mm-hmm. Giving money is more complicated, and yes. She clearly doesn't want it.
Yeah.
I think the best thing you can do is ask her what you can do. Mm-hmm. Say, you know, I hate to see you struggling, and, you know, I believe in your talent and everything. And I just want to know, like, how can I help? Mm-hmm. You know, can I give you a loan? Can I send you job opportunities? You know, if you need a down payment on an apartment, like something small, mm-hmm. Where you might just ask her, like, is there a sum of money that would get you over the hump, or like be able to get into a new apartment? If so, I hope you know you can ask me, mm-hmm. but I don't want to be presumptuous and assume that you need it and can't get it on your own. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we're friends. I don't want anything to change in our friendship. It's such an important friendship to me. I just want to put it out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's her decision. Mm-hmm. You know, either she's going to say, yeah, I'm fine. You know, I will figure this out. Or she'll say, yeah, you know, send me some links to jobs. Maybe there's room, you know, at your, she sounds very proud. And that's such a nice quality in that word, in that mm-hmm. sense of the word, mm-hmm. Where she's determined to do this on her own. Mm-hmm. And she's not above hard labor. And, you know, she's doing whatever it takes to get through this. And yeah, you know, times have been hard with the pandemic and everything. Mm-hmm. Right now, though, every place is hiring. You know, there's a shortage of workers. She's in a better position now to get a mm-hmm. job than she was 6 months ago or a year ago or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Ask her if she wants, if you can look at her resume or something like that. She might want everything separate. Mm-hmm. And I know underneath what you're saying is, I miss the way we used to be together when we were more financially equal. Mm-hmm. And now there's this thing between us. It doesn't sound like she resents you at all for your success and, you know, partnership, you know, financial stability. She sounds like an amazing person. So I think just putting out there, like, is there something that I can do right now that would be helpful, whether it's, you know, come over with a bottle of wine more, mm-hmm. send you job opportunities, loan you some money, give you some money. Mm-hmm. Just be honest and then say, and we never if the answer is no to everything, we never have to have this conversation again, but know that I am here for you. Mm-hmm. And you are so important to me. I don't want to see you unhappy or struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. That's good.
It sounds like such a good friendship, and it is a real shame. Like, she took a chance and went out there, mm-hmm. and she's so close to getting her big break, but you can live years like that waiting for your big break.
You really can.
I mean, I admire her just from your letter.
Yeah. Yeah.
How hardworking she is.
That your success may be the, like you, they always say about getting a job, it's who you know, it's not necessarily, and you're the one she knows. So I do think that your success gives you the opportunity to give her more opportunities to show her, like, you know, we could use someone to do this. It may not be sexy, but it pays, you know, $10 a word, you know,
or maybe not in your company, but maybe in a company that you work with or a client that you have or whatever. You know, it's funny. I have an uncle, I have many uncles, but this one particular uncle was a technical writer all his life, and he made fantastic money, mm-hmm. was able to, you know, buy a house in cash, and, you know, was really bored by his extremely well-paying, great benefits job. Mm-hmm. His wife was a nurse, and he out-earned her by like 300%. And he said, it's ridiculous. Like, she is literally saving lives. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting behind a computer all day in this really easy job. But he also is this guy who, and I'm not saying this is you, just want to help. He's also someone who never took a chance, never really tried his talent out there in the big world. He likes to tell me how he's so surprised that I was the one to become a published author, let alone a successfully published author, you know, and a continuously published author. He's really snooty about that, but he never tried, you know, he never tried. So there is that trade-off that Melissa, you know, she's struggling financially and she hasn't had her big break, but she's out there doing it. Mm-hmm. And that might have a reward that is something that you don't see as much as maybe she feels. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember reading, the blog of a very successful, well-established writer whose career, you know, started to go on the decline, as careers do. And she ended up working at The Gap, mm-hmm. folding sweaters, and her manager was like younger than her son, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was just about sort of the reality of being a creative person, mm-hmm. and the humility that it takes to work in a job, you know, just because you could get that job, mm-hmm. You know, even though you're more qualified for other things. But she was also pretty proud of herself for, you know, like, I needed a job and I got one.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
So don't discount that. Make room in the conversation for that. Tell her how much you admire her for, you know, giving it a go, continually trying. And, you know, maybe she is in a rut right now. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe she's just like, this is just what I have to do to get to the next phase.
True. It could be that. It could be. But she has stopped writing, which I know that feeling.
Yeah.
And that is a rut. That's not a great thing.
Yeah.
And if she, I would say, pose your question to her as if you were investing in her instead of giving her money. I want to invest in you because I believe in you. And maybe talk to her about, why aren't you writing? Why do you think that's happening? Can I do anything to help you to start writing? It might be that she has no healthcare and she could use a little bit of therapy to help her get over this hump. And maybe she can't pay for that.
Yeah.
And maybe she would accept that. I would. I would accept money for healthcare because who has healthcare? No one.
But I worry, Jess. I would not, I disagree with you in the rare case that I don't think she should, you should say, I'd like to invest in you. Mm-hmm. I think you should ask, is there anything I can do? I've thought about this. I know how proud and hardworking you are. And I'm, you know, not saying that waitressing is beneath you, but you know, I want you to write. I love your writing. You're so talented. Or can I maybe help you network to get a job that is a little better, has better benefits? Ask her what you can do.
Yeah.
Don't tell her what you can do for her. You know what I mean?
I do. I see that point, but I know from my own stance, I'd automatically say no.
Right. Right.
I would automatically say to everything.
It's very hard for you
really hard
to accept help. And I know like you will accept certain kinds of help.
Yeah.
I will accept certain kinds of help, but not other kinds of help.
Right.
You know, we all have that in us. And I love that you thought of the anonymous donation, but you know, she's going to know who it is.
She is going to know who that is. She's absolutely going to know. I don't know what else to offer her. I think her apartment is shitty. Maybe you could talk to her about trying to give her a loan to at least for a down payment for something better. And then she could pay you back at her leisure.
Or, you know, if you think like there's stuff that she needs, you could say something like, you know, this client gave me a gift card to Home Goods and I'm not going to use it.
Right.
But I also think that lying to a friend, even a white lie, is a little dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I definitely recommend just ask her. It sounds like your friendship is so strong that it can take this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being proud can be a real quality. Mm-hmm. It can also really get in the way.
Yeah.
And you can say like, look, it's me, you know, and we've been friends for so long. We have the best friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to have this somewhat awkward, but important conversation with you.
Yeah.
You know, is there anything I can do to help right now?
Mm-hmm.
And see what she says,
let us
take you up on, you know, paying for a therapist or, the job networking or, you know, take her to Home Goods for a little shopping spree. God, I love that store.
Yeah.
my husband always breaks out in a sweat when I was like, I went to Home Goods.
I love it. Home
Goods. And tell her like the only reason I'm having this conversation with you is because our friendship is so great.
Yeah.
I feel like I can. And if the situation were reversed, I would hope that you would do the same.
Right. It's funny. I can see myself on both sides because now that I'm a little more comfortable. It's been one of my goals in my life to be able to do things for people like this, like my nieces and my brother, who we discussed in the last podcast.
Yeah.
Everyone apparently has an alcoholic.
We all have an alcoholic brother. Yeah.
So, you know, to be able to do things like that, that's one of my goals, to help my parents, to help friends who need it. I've always wanted to be able to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, it is the best when you can help someone out, you know, with a check here or a check there, but anonymously helping someone out is very difficult. And I say this as someone who's tried to do it. I gave a scholarship to a kid and, you know, I had to send like a certified check from the bank and make sure that she would be home to get it because it's me, you know, it's scary thinking that somebody else get it. Anyway, it's complicated and you can't just swoop in like a fairy godmother as much as you want to.
Yeah.
You know, if she takes your money, I think the dynamic might change and that your friendship is worth more to her than the $5,000 you could easily give her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So keep that in mind too.
Yeah. So I guess the advice is the one conversation that we always
have. That one honest conversation. Yeah. And she might just sit there and say, you know, I'm going through a really shitty time and I appreciate you, but no.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. And that's the end of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just do your Netflix and popcorn and wine. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing has to change, right?
Right.
And it can only change if she wants it to.
Right, right. So,
yeah. Good luck. We really would love to hear from you.
No kidding.
We love good friend stories, and this is a good friend story. So we'd love to hear how it goes. And you have a really kind and generous heart. Good for you.
Yeah.
Now, Joss.
Yeah.
Before we started recording, I did tell you a little story.
That's yes.
An embarrassing personal problem.
I'd love to hear
it. Inadvertently happened to me. You've been here to the house on the Cape, and you know that we have a rather large wooded lot.
Yes.
And we're on a dirt road.
Right.
And most of the people around here are summer people or strangers, you know, like they're year rounders who don't want to know me, a summer person, essentially. Mm-hmm. The other day I never pack well when I come up here. So I had one pair of jeans and they were in the dryer. So I was just sitting there in my underwear on the stool, waiting for my jeans to dry. And my back was to the screen door. Mm-hmm. In the front of the house. Mm-hmm. And one would think that I heard a big rattling brown truck lumbering up my driveway. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hear it back out either. Mm-hmm. And I just heard a little beep, beep, beep. And I look down and I see the brown UPS truck leaving down the road. And I notice a package on mm-hmm. my front step. Mm-hmm. You know, so basically he did see me. My middle-agedness in my underwear.
Yeah.
But he was kind and gracious enough to pretend he did not, or to at least not like say, lady, I have your package, and have me dive under the couch, you know?
Right, right.
So I was very embarrassed and horrified. Mm-hmm. You know, this UPS and I go way back.
You have a complicated relationship with UPS.
Yeah, I think I may be on a list of like, you know, on approach. I did have one guy throw a package into the yard once, and I thought, I know why that happened. That was because that was the time I was coloring my hair, and my cat ran out, and she wasn't the outdoor cat, so I had to catch her so Coyote wouldn't eat her, and I ran out with all the goop in my hair and just a t-shirt on. Just a t-shirt. It was a long t-shirt, but it was just a t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And I locked myself out.
Oh, good.
So I took the screen off the window while I'm holding this wriggling 13-pound cat in one hand, trying to take the screen off, lift up the window. I'm climbing in, and UPS drives up the driveway.
Nice.
And I just thought, like, this was my old buddy Kevin, who's since retired. I wonder what. But, you know, we just sort of silently agreed that this never happened and we would never speak of it again.
So can I offer you some advice about not wearing pants?
Yes.
My advice is lean into that. That's my advice. Lean into that, my advice, because I have, and I am all the better for it. And I've done it in that I go out into my backyard on my deck, and I'll be wearing an old lady nightgown, which I love.
I love those.
And I will bend over in pick tomatoes, as I've done, or something else from the garden, and the whole of the world can see my underwear and back, and I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. Lean into people seeing your underwear.
I do have to say, the first day Joss moved into her house, her neighbors put up a privacy screen.
That is true.
They had a sense about you.
They did. That is true.
Oh, God. Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net. And please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends. Forever.